Ooh, so what a difference a month can make. And on my last episode talking about firing, that was episode 56. Go check it out. Nonprofit Insider Podcast. I'm your host. So I'm Kareem. So glad to have you here. I talked about that. That was actually episode 58. On episode 58, I talked about getting fired in a nonprofit space. And you all responded. You liked what you heard. You appreciated what you heard. The number of followers that I had after posting that episode, it's funny because the download numbers were the same, but all of a sudden it felt like I had 15, 10% more people all of a sudden following me on Instagram. So go over following me on Instagram. And like I said, what a difference a month can make. Because when I dropped that episode on February 5th, the administration was just getting started. Fast forward a month later, 28 days later, and the subject of the moment is firings. Lots has changed. And with the development, the Department of Government Efficiency, I mean, just the administration as a whole, everyone's talking about firings. Federal workers, of course, we know are in the news cycle now more than ever before, with a lot of individuals losing their jobs. I think the last I saw was like 14,000 Americans in the federal government space were canned. There's a lot of ripple effects that are happening. I know nonprofits are... It's funny to say because it feels like a month ago they were strapped in, but it really feels like a lot of nonprofits are really weighing the water. And a lot of times, like in economic terms, you'll see people will say it's a bull market. It's not good. So what do people do when the economy is kind of going down, the stocks are going down? People just hold on to their cash, you know, just hold on to their cash and just kind of like see what happens, right? Nonprofits are kind of like that right now. They're like, ooh, this doesn't look good. Like, this administration's coming in. Things are happening fast. We need to hold tight. We need to buckle in, make sure we got our dollars lined up, make sure we are good, because things are going to continue to get a little bit unstable. And with so many federal workers getting fired across the nation right now, it's at the point of conversation for a lot of folks. And I think there's a lot of conversations where people know that firings happen in the nonprofit space, for-profit space, the government space, whatever it may be. But the way in which you do it can be often talked about. And a lot of people, when they think of the feds, they think of a lot of federal workers are unionized, they have strong unions, that government can be slow, it can be inefficient. Well, that's being disproven in real time. And a lot of people will say it's illegal and unconstitutional. We'll let the scholars kind of handle that. But there are a lot of people that are not feeling good right now. They're just not feeling good. And I think there's lessons to be learned for nonprofits. There's lessons from this that nonprofits really need to, I think, take in. And I think a lot of nonprofits right now they're thinking of themselves, survival mode, and not even survival mode, but just when the foundation is unstable, when the ground in which you walk is not feeling decent, you kind of hold steady, you hold tight. But I implore nonprofits to really take a pause here, because there's an opportunity for a lot of different organizations to see what's happening in terms of the way people are getting fired and do pretty much the exact opposite. Listen, it goes without saying that whenever you're trying to let go people, you're trying to do it in the best way possible. Listen, 90% of organizations do a good job. That's probably not the right way to say it, but a lot of nonprofits do a not bad job, if that makes sense. A lot of nonprofits, either they let people go very well, or they let people go in a fashion that's very by the book, making sure that they don't have lawsuits come back to them or anything bad. A lot of nonprofits just, for the most part, are just, it's kind of like something that they hate to do, they regret to do, but they end up doing it. I implore nonprofits to really be okay with being human when letting people go. It's okay to be human. That sounds strange to say. I have a future episode coming up here in 2 weeks. We got the amazing Camille Ridley. She's going to be on a podcast. That episode, yeah, you pay attention to that. This is someone you're going to want to know out of Phoenix. and a little bit of a teaser. She talks about, I ask her, what is it about, I can't remember exactly, but it's like, what is it about what you do and the approach you do when you work with people and go out and raise money and the way you walk through life? And she's a nonprofit leader who does some amazing things. And she says, being human. And I remember being on that episode, talking with her and thinking like, dang, this is why I need to have you on a podcast, because she talks in a fashion where people are going to really understand it's okay to be human. And when you're letting people go, when you're firing people, when you're kicking them in the ass, one of the worst things, one of the things that can really, really be tough in any instance when you lose your job is all the uncertainty. We know that for a fact. We know when we talk about getting fired, it fucking sucks, right? Even if someone you don't like gets fired, you know it's going to be a little bit tough for them for a little bit, right? If you work at a call center and you hate fucking Bobby over there because he's bullshitting all the time and gets on your nerves and they get fired, you're like, oh yeah, okay, cool, see ya. You're not upset, but at the same time, you acknowledge. You're like, oh, well, things are not going to be good for Bobby for a little bit, right? They're going to have a little bit of trouble for a while. And when you think about what it is to get fired, it's like having the rug pulled under you. And when I talk to people, and again, if you're interested in sharing more, this might be an ongoing series. I might do this all the way through summer, getting fired part three, because listen, I can't say that. Can I say that? Yeah, I've got a federal worker I'm talking with right now. It might not happen. It's a little early. Someone in my network, it might be a little too early. But I definitely want to have them on the show. And if you're listening to this episode, Fed worker, you know I want you on the show. But there's a piece of this conversation where I think it's going to keep happening. I think I'm going to keep having conversations of people that are getting fired. And one of the things I hear often, and I talk with people sometimes over the phone, sometimes through email, sometimes it's Instagram, you know, whatever, text, fuck. A lot of people say the same thing. It's that feeling of, you know how when you take a balloon or you take a bag or something like that and you put it underwater, you take like a plastic cup, a glass cup, you put it underwater and the water just rushes. A lot of people describe feeling like it's like, woo. It's like, woo. And I want to share a story from one of our insiders. Shout out to one of our insiders. We're going to call him Muhammad. We're going to call him Muhammad. Someone I've known in nonprofit space for quite some time. Someone I respect. And there's so many people I had reach out to me. Some of them did not reach out to me as fast. So again, if you're interested in being on Nonprofit Insider Podcast, either as a guest or as a private insider, let me know. I'm definitely taking more submissions of all kinds. If you have an idea of mine, just let me know. Maybe we can figure out on the podcast. We have some really, really great opportunities to secure some really good stories from you all. But this was someone I received from someone that I respect in the nonprofit space. We're going to call him Muhammad. And so Muhammad tells me, says, hey, I definitely got something for you. And so when I reached out to individuals, just as a quick reminder, when I reached out to individuals, for the most part, I asked the same five questions to every single person. I asked pretty much the same five questions. And I'm going to share some of those here in a bit. So the first one was, could you walk me through the circumstances leading up to your dismissal, including what sector of nonprofit you worked within? So he goes on to tell me he's working at a Native American nonprofit organization. He's a fundraiser. It's a 501c3. And basically, he got fired after a performance review. But in his mind, he's like, it was kind of bullshit. It was kind of bullshit. And so I'm not going to get into that part too much, but I do want to read really three of his answers. And I want to read his answers verbatim because, again, with everything that's happening right now, there's a lot of conversations around getting fired and the basically idea that the administration's coming in with like a wrecking ball, coming in with a sledgehammer and just destroying things from the executive branch. And in doing that, not really taking into account that these are people behind the numbers and behind the badge or behind the key card. And the second question I asked most people was, how did you feel immediately after hearing the news, and what emotions surfaced in the days or weeks that followed? That's the part I want to read verbatim. So he goes on to say, I felt like I was sucker punched in the gut. It was sudden and painful, and as I truly believed in the mission and group of the people, it was benefiting. The way I was cornered in my office after lunch by the COO and my supervisor at the time felt like I was being arrested. It was embarrassing as all my other coworkers saw what was happening. Days after, my emotions were of anger, confusion, and sadness. Weeks after that, I still had the same anger towards the organization, but I used that as motivation to find a new job with an organization that has a similar mission, but a team that works for me. And that's, again, that's the feeling I really want to highlight here and hang on to, that feeling of anger, confusion, and sadness. That's one with the previous episode from episode 58, Getting Fired, Part 1. That was the first of these. Go back to episodes, listen to that. Jason says the exact same thing, that feeling of feeling anger, confusion, sadness. Confusion feels like that's kind of the big one, followed by anger, followed by sadness. But it doesn't matter which ranking it is. It's that feeling of, damn, like, because that rug is pulled underneath you. I go to question 3, and I ask, looking back, do you feel there were any warning signs, or did this come as a complete shock? Again, same person, Muhammad says, and I quote, that organization was extremely toxic, cliquish, and high turnover around or aside from the leadership. I was surprised at first with my termination, but when I had time to process my emotions, I felt I should have known better. It started with statements towards my character, that I'm doing too much of this, and that, and other coworkers were offended because I, quote, mansplained something. The accusations were odd, but I didn't question them enough, which I regret, since consequently, a short time after that, I was written up for being behind on my fundraising goals. There are moments when I think all of us have had where we join a new group. Sometimes it's a friend group. Sometimes it's a volunteer group. Sometimes it's a hobby group. And sometimes it's a work group where we join an organization and there are things that are red flags that we just... And red flags, and honestly, listen, red flags can be subjective. A red flag for you may not be a red flag for me. But there can be moments where you join a group, you join an organization, and there are things that happen within that culture that we can't bond with. We don't fit within. And then we look back after we leave and we go, oh, shit. Damn, that place was pretty toxic. It was pretty cliquish. There was high turnover. And all of a sudden, things can just come out of nowhere. And you're like, wait a minute, what's even going on? Again, getting fired in a nonprofit space, it's really not that different, right? That's the point that we're making here when I talk about the Nonprofit Insider Podcast, really taking a close examination on what happens in the nonprofit space so people don't see it's all peaches and rainbows, because there's so much more to it. And we still have work to do. We can't excuse ourselves from the things that really need to happen in order to have good organizations, good culture. Let me go on here. The fourth question, I'm going to skip that one, but the fifth question that I asked him, actually, this is the one I really wanted to highlight because I thought this was, I mean, just a perfect way to encapsulate what we mean when we talk about this subject. I asked, is there anything else about your dismissal you would like to share with our audience? Feel free to address this directly to the nonprofit sector or nonprofit workers or nonprofit leaders. Yeah, that's what I'm just making sure I got the question right. Excuse me. And so I asked them that to say, hey, like, this is your soapbox. And that's what we do here on the podcast. This is your soapbox. This is your podcast. This is what you want to hear, because this is the stuff that isn't talked about in this sector from state to state, coast to coast. And he said, this is what he said, and I quote, For workers, be aware if there is high turnover from employees that are not in leadership positions, because chances are the leaders are toxic as fuck. Nonprofit leaders, don't be toxic as fuck. He actually writes AF, but we can curse. I want to make sure everyone knows. Listen, when I read that, I was like, wow. Like, I was like, dang, Muhammad, he was putting it in. But this is how he feels, right? When you get fired or there's a threat of you being fired, how do you feel? That's the moment where you look around and you go, wait a minute. Listen, we know some firers can be just, right? But a lot of firers are not always up to speed. They're not always just. We're seeing that right now with the federal government, where people are getting fired and a lot of people are like, this isn't cool. Like, you can do it, yeah, but that's not the energy we're trying to put out. So he's getting fired and he's telling nonprofit leaders, don't be toxic AF. Don't be toxic as fuck. I paraphrase there, but let me continue. He goes on to say, quote, do some self-reflection. If the turnover in your organization is high, but not with the leadership team, then chances are the problem is from the top. And board members, if you notice high turnover at the organization you're a part of, ensure that the CEO or ED has accountability. I would challenge the board members to take it a step further and talk to all employees by themselves to get on pulse with the organization. I can almost guarantee that will make day-to-day operations with all departments more effective. The nonprofit sector is rewarding to work for, but it has the same problems with office culture as the corporate world, unfortunately. I don't need to say anything else. I don't. Muhammad, he hits it on the nail. The nonprofit sector is rewarding to work for, but it has the same problems with office culture as the corporate world, unfortunately. Say no more. Say less. I'm gonna put a little thing on here. One thing is, I've heard talks where, depending on the organization, a lot of EDs do not like board members talking to staff members. Let me tell you right now, if you work for an organization and that organization is not comfortable with you interacting with board members, that's a red flag. It might be a yellow flag, right? I mean, the organizations may not want you talking with the board members like best friends, right? But you should work for an organization where you actually have the ability to have an interaction with the board members. They should not be put behind a glass wall. And if you are a board member and that's what's happening with your organization, you don't feel like you have the ability to talk to the employees. And it doesn't matter how big it is. It could be an organization with 50 people or 50,000. You should have that ability. Your organization should have parameters where people can connect with those types of leaders, because in a nonprofit sector, that's the structure. Here's the thing. A lot of people say, well, in the for-profit space, you don't have the ability to talk with the CEO of Apple. All right, well, that's for-profit. Come on. That's comparing apples and oranges. That's why it's called the Nonprofit Insider Podcast, not the business employee podcast where we talk about it. We talk like that. And even then, even like when I own Apple stock, it's a very small percentage. It's a percentage of a percentage of a point of a percentage, you know, but I still have the ability to participate in the selection of the board members. Yeah, you know, the votes, you know, listen, the vote doesn't mean shit. Well, you know, symbolic. I can talk forever about this. I want to just end with this. Thank you so much, Muhammad, Jason. I have more, so I get a feeling I'm going to do a third one. It might not be the next uncut episode. It might be one of the future ones, but we're definitely going to talk more about this subject. Let's get the fast 5 minutes. All right, if you give me 30 seconds, I can change your life. All right, so maybe I can't actually change your life, but you can change my life. Listen, it's my birthday month, and I only want one thing as a present this year: podcast reviews. If you've been listening to the Nonprofit Insider Podcast, if you like what you hear, this might be the only time I ask people to do something specifically like this in this format. This is an all-out push. Do me a favor, leave me a podcast review. Go to Apple Podcasts, go to Spotify, leave me 5 stars, write, I love this podcast. Swim talks about amazing things. He's the best ever. Do all of those things. It's a great way to show your support to me. Leave reviews. Let other people know in the nonprofit industry that this is the Real Deal Podcast and you appreciate it. Do that for me and we'll get back to the show. All right, fast 5 minutes and then we'll go ahead and get out of here. If you've been following me on Instagram, I talked about how I was going to share a story about the time I was almost fired. You probably saw it in the show notes. I was working with my former employer. I don't need to say their name. I worked with him for pretty much about a decade. Just about a decade. I worked for him for about a decade. And you can look it up. It's not hard to find. Had a good time there. Loved it. But in the first, it was like year... It was like in the first year, my boss at this place, when I first started, like in my, it was like the first day, my boss had became my boss and they lived in a different state. They lived in a different time zone, actually. And so it was their first time leading a group of people that were in a completely different time zone, right? And the organization had just gone through a process of basically merging, right? They were multiple federated, this is a big nonprofit. They were multiple federated chapters that they had, and all these chapters basically combined and they became from a federated to unfederated. So they were just like one big nonprofit. So no more you in Amarillo do your own taxes, no more you in Denver do your own taxes, you in Omaha do your own taxes. It was like, no, we're just bridging it all together. We're not bullshitting anymore. We're just all under one umbrella, basically. And so they had did that. And then like 3 months later, I joined on. And so the person I was reporting to, they all of a sudden were now interacting with people in their home state. And they were leading people in 2 other states. And I was one of those 2. And they're nice people. Not to discourage, disparage or anything like that. But it was clear that a lot of things were happening that were very, very big. And this person, we got along very well, but I'm working and reporting to my boss way before COVID. You know, this is like, I'm coming into the office, but who I report to is in a completely different area. It was one of the first big nonprofits I'm really, really working for. I mean, this is like a top 15, top 10 nonprofit in size. I'm working for them and I'm having struggles around how am I doing the work? Because I also had an executive director of that particular organization, and they were there in person. So I'm trying to appease that executive director, and we had a great relationship. They were amazing, right? But you could get a sense of where these power dynamics coming to, right? I'm trying to report to a boss that's a state over in a different time zone, and then at the same time, I have an executive director, and I'm trying to make sure they're happy. It's my first big job. I'm like, Who am I really reporting to? How do I make sure that I'm giving the right energy to the right things at the right time? And maybe it was like 10 months in, had the ex-wife, all of this stuff. I'm like trying to have a baby and stuff. Just like there's a lot going on. I'm new to the area. And in the mix of all, about 9 months in, the boss I'm reporting to is not thrilled with the work that's getting done, but it's like a steep learning curve again. And this person is not here. I've only met this person 2 times in person over a 9-month span. And I'm trying to learn how they like to do things. This was back when it was like, we were doing webinars, Microsoft Teams, all that. The way in which we communicate keeps getting easier year over year, but it was still like, you know, it still had some struggles at that point in time. So we're trying to do all of these things. She's not thrilled with my performance. And she's like, Swim, I think I'm going to have to put you on a performance improvement plan, a PIP. I'd never fucking heard of a PIP. I look into this thing, and this is back. I mean, Reddit's still a bit, Reddit's big right now, but this is like being on old school Reddit forums and things like that of people saying like, if you get put on a PIP, start looking for a job. So I'm like it was like one of those moments where honestly, like something just snapped in my mind. Like it just, like a light switch, like just turned on. It was like, oh shit. Like if she's talking about putting me on this PIP, performance improvement plan, you guys can look it up if you haven't heard of it. You've probably heard of it. If she's talking about it, I'm not on a good road. And so all of a sudden, where before it was kind of like I was in the back seat, where, listen, I was doing my job. I wasn't doing bad, but I wasn't crushing it. Like I wasn't knocking it out. I wasn't even hitting doubles, to be completely honest. I was hitting like a couple of singles, baseball analogy. Like I'm doing the job, but I'm not like, I'm not taking it to that next level. But when she said that and told me that, and that threat of getting fired, losing my job, not having income, trying to figure out how am I going to take care of myself, take care of my wife, we're having a baby. It was like one of those moments where it's like, okay, like I'm an adult now. And I got to find some intrinsic motivation to get me to where I need to go, because I don't want to get fired. That sounds terrible. I don't want to have to look for a new job. I'm just not interested in what that's going to feel like. So that was my one time of that threat of getting fired. And when I asked Muhammad and I asked some of the other people, like, were there signs? That was my freaking sign. That was my sign of, oh, snap. Like, I could get canned. I'm not interested in this. We will have more episodes of Nonprofit Insider Podcast. Go back, listen to my previous episode where I talked with, I talked with Jen Tudor, an amazing episode. And go back before that, listen to the first one, Getting Fired, Part 1 in the Trump Administration. We'll see you in the next one. Take care.